Hey, this is Brandon Ludwig, and you're listening to Beam Me Up Scotty, starring Kenny, Scotty Too Hotty Guffney, Brian Labuda, Dawson Maiman, and Trevor Dinosaur Lasur.
All right, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hi, my name is, what is my name, Ken? I forgot.
This is Jake Young.
And Jake C. Young.
Jake, yeah. C. Young.
I'm an actor, a writer, and a director. I'm the owner and founder of a film company called MTS Pictures. That's me. It's what I do.
Awesome. So, when did you first realize that you wanted to be a filmmaker?
Oh, well, you're jumping in early, huh? I don't really know that I have a specific time when I realized it. I've been making films, like my own independent films, for as long as I can remember. All the way up to, when I was like 12 years old, it was always something, I wanted to see what I would become, because everything I seen on TV, it slowly integrated into, I would see that and that's what I would become. And then, over time, everyone told me, you've got to have one job. You got to pick a job, have a steady job, stay there. And I never seen the point in that. Why be one thing when you can be everything?
Very good point.
Yeah, so that's what got me involved. I really enjoyed it. So, it just kind of took off from there.
What's been the biggest challenge for you as a director?
The biggest challenge? Can you elaborate on that?
Has it been, getting funding? Has it been writing? Has it been, anything in the production?
Let me put it to you like this. I once was asked a similar question by a man, and he asked what my biggest challenge was. I told him it has always been a mountaintop experience.
Okay.
What I mean by that is either I've been on top of the mountain or it's been on top of me. So
it's a very nice way to put that. I like that.
Yeah, I guess. There's been a lot of struggles, man. It doesn't come easy, but, I'm telling you, if I ever had anything to give out to people, it would just be, follow your dreams. Don't give up, because there's plenty of people, that say, no, you can't do this. It just, settle. But, man, you can do anything you set your mind to.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah. Who would you say has been your biggest cinematic influence?
My biggest cinematic influence? Is that what you said?
Yes.
As in, what do you mean as in cinematic, like director, actors?
Exactly, across the board. Who has influenced you the most?
Yes, he says. Yes.
Who has influenced you the most?
Oh, well, that's a really hard question, because there's so many good people that, I know you probably know already what I'm going to say.
I had an idea, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so, probably one of my biggest influences that I think is a fantastic actor, a phenomenal director, somebody that, you know, kind of started from ground zero and came up was Rosie O'Donnell. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, whoa, that escalated quickly.
Yeah,
took a turn.
I'm totally joking. I would probably say, you know, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorites. I'm so inspired by his work, man. He's had a lot of influence on me. Not to mention, you know, the really creepy resemblance, but I get it a lot. But, I mean, yeah, I'm. And him, Sylvester Stallone, he's another good one. I really admire those guys that, you know, came from nothing and, you know, just kind of worked their way up and started, you know, to become something. Because, you know, that's where I think all of us have been at one point in time in our life, whether, you know, some situations have been worse than other people's by comparison. But, I mean, we have all been at, you know, rock bottom and had to work our way up, and it's harder than others. You know, some people, you know, you bust your ass, man, just to try to make it, and people, you know, laugh in your face and your work's not good enough, or it's always something. But for that 1% that doesn't give up, that keeps going, no matter what people tell them, if you just keep on going, you don't give up, they don't take no for an answer, and they just keep fighting, you know, to achieve their dreams. That's what I admire in a person. That's what I take to heart, especially if I know a director or an actor, and I know their story behind it.
Yeah, for sure. Would you say that you have a certain filmmaking style?
People say I do. I don't know if that's good or bad.
You know, like J.J. Abrams gets told a lot he uses lens flares excessively.
I don't know, man. you tell me. You've seen a couple of my films, haven't you?
Yes. I would say...
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would say I do or if I don't. I mean, I just... That one's hard. I mean,
nothing intentional, though, right?
Why are you trying to put me in a hard spot, man?
Come on, this is the get to know you. Yeah. So, all right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I would just prefer people to make their own assumptions. Because if I have to tell you what you're supposed to feel in a film, I have probably failed at my job.
I love
as
that.
A director or a writer or a filmmaker in general, because if my story can't make you feel what I want you to feel and I'm having to tell you my style, then I have probably already failed out of the gate. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's your opinion on that? I mean, because I'm actually curious to hear.
I would say no. I don't think you have something, you know, specific that you do, at least not intentionally. So... You know, I mean, if there's not something that you do intentionally, then I would say no. You know, that's more for, you know, again, J.J. Abrams with the lens flares, you know.
Okay.
You know, but no.
Yeah, I got you, man.
All right, so what's been your favorite project you've done?
My favorite project? Probably... I want to be honest, man. I'm working on one now. I know you know about it. I don't know about your listeners. I don't know if they know about it.
Well, it depends on what project you're talking about.
There is one project I'm working on now. Of course, it's been announced. You can check it on IMDb or, you know, check it on my social media stuff. I post some stuff on there. It's called... Boone, that's what they're calling it for now anyways. It is a film about Daniel Boone, in which I actually play Daniel Boone, and man, let me tell you, this has been a hell of a ride, man. I don't know what other way to say it, but it has been an awesome film, man. I mean, it has been a lot of work, just blood, sweat and tears. But, you know, everybody's always asking me, what's that like to play something like that? Or, you know, honestly, I can take, like, zero credit for this movie. Mostly because my cast and my crew that have been on this, man, if it wasn't for some of the cast, like, some of the people that are acting alongside me, this movie would be just terrible, man. And I'm being honest. This is just such a beautiful thing because I've watched this come together. And, you know, honestly, there's no real style to it coming together or anything. It just naturally fell into place. And I think sometimes whenever you have those in a film and things just naturally fall into place, some things really are just, you know, meant to be. I mean, I don't know. You've seen, like, bits and pieces, I assume, here and there of it.
Of Boone? Yeah, I've kind of checked it out a bit. It seems pretty cool. I can't wait to see the finished product, so I think you're
going
to do a great job.
Me either. Like, my cast and my crew, man, my guy that's working on this with me, he's actually, he's one of my film partners. I say one of them because I've got a couple. Raj, man, he is the bomb. He has done so much on this. He's been by me. And like I said, everybody involved in this has just been fantastic. I mean, we went everywhere to do this. I mean, I'm talking like blistering hot sun to freezing cold winters, like up in the mountains where we're shooting. And dude, I mean, it has been some of the conditions that not only myself, but like the crew has had to endure in this. Like, I don't know how they do it. There's probably not a paycheck big enough for these people. And that's, it's been a ride, man. I mean, when you're waiting around in between takes and you're literally pulling ice out of your beard, I mean, it's...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, man. But it's so, like, the authenticity of this movie is so real that it's almost surreal. And like watching it back, I mean, and I hope that people will see the finished product as what I have got to see as it comes together.
Yeah. We'll post it when it comes out to have everybody check it out, of course, when it is
released. Yeah, for sure, man.
What is coming up after Boone for Jake C. Young?
The Hospital.
Possibly.
No, I mean, no. So what a lot of people don't know is actually on the set of Boone, we were filming a scene, and I actually broke my collarbone while we were filming the movie.
Yeah. I remember talking to you about that.
Because, like, we were filming a scene, and, like, it's this fight scene, and it wasn't, like, anyone's fault. It was just, I felt weird on it, and I landed strange, and I actually broke my right clavicle. Well, I didn't really break it, I just kind of fractured it, but now it makes, like, this really weird popping noise every time we're shooting. And, I mean, but at the end of the day, man, I would not have changed a thing on that shoot, because it turned out just beautifully. So what's coming next? I've got some stuff in the pipeline. I know you and I have talked about doing some stuff together in the future, coming soon, that yep. I'll leave up to you to announce. But,
well, yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about Night of the Living Dead, you can. They already know about that.
Now the cat's out of the bag.
They obviously already know about that. So, yeah, if you want to talk about Night of the Living Dead.
So we got the reboot coming up, in which, I remember I was sitting on my couch one night and just... this guy messages me and he's like, "Hey, you want to help me with a movie?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." So, and the rest was history.
It was just so perfect. I was just like, you know what?
Really good friends, you and I.
I think so. I think you and I become very good friends. You're almost like a brother to me, honestly. And, you know, I just was thinking, I originally wanted to completely remake Night of the Living Dead. Like, I mean, remake it, original script and everything, but, you know, I took it to you, and you had an idea to do something a little bit different with it in the vein of Halloween 2018, which is that, you know, it's got the same name, you know, as the original, Night of the Living Dead, but yet it takes place after the original film, but can also stand on its own completely independently. And I love that. I love that when you came back with that.
Past that, I love the idea that we came up with. And past that, we should probably be quiet, you know, because we don't want to.
Yeah.
Sued.
No, we we'll keep that on the, you know, the rest of it on the down low, and they can check it out.
That's kind of where I'm at with my other projects too, man. I've got a few coming up. I know two of them specifically. One I star in with that's coming up. It's got literally an all-star cast in it. And I'll go ahead and drop this, too. We've got a star talent going to make an appearance in Boone, too. I know you know who Charlie Sheen is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know who his dad, Martin Sheen's brother, Emilio Estevez. I don't know if you've ever heard of, but his uncle, which is Joe Estevez, brother to Martin Sheen, is actually an actor, too. He's been in several things, and he's going to be making an appearance in Boone. So, I mean, that's something really cool to look forward to. And next, I mean, I know that we've got several new things that's coming up. And like I said, in the next project we're working on, which I said I can't reveal too much about it, but we will have an all-star cast in it. So I think people are really going to be excited about what they find out coming soon. But like I said, the timing on all of that, I can't really say for sure.
Yeah. It's never 100% sure. Like when you're looking at that, you know, so.
No, man. I've worked on films like before that I know of personally that have been like nearly completed. And then the entire thing just drop, like the whole project just buckle out. Like, you have an entire film's worth of footage, and you know, maybe one day some of that'll get released. Maybe it won't, I don't know, but it's never 100% certain on a project, so you never want to get, you know, too far ahead of yourself.
Yeah, never too far ahead and never too comfortable. So,
man, for sure.
Do you have any last words you would like to leave the listeners with?
Any last word? Wow, that was fast.
It's been pretty standard, I would think. You know, I mean, we could dedicate 40 minutes.
Yeah, he's trying to rush me.
Heck no. I'm not rushing you. You're always welcome back on here.
Yeah, he's trying to rush me. He's trying to rush me, man. This is like, he's like, no, we're done with you, man. We are done. We got other segments. We got other guests coming up. Beam this up. I'm out, Captain Kirk.
Well, you are the season finale, so you are the last guest that they're going to hear for season 3 before we return for season 4.
Oh, that's really cool, man. And I'm totally kidding. If anybody knows me, you know I really like to joke a lot. I like to cut up. I really like to laugh. That's one of my biggest things. You'll probably see if you ever are. I wouldn't say privileged. I probably. Say if you are ever endured to watch any of my blooper reels, you will probably be able to tell I love to laugh and cut up, especially on set and stuff like that.
If you want to link one of those over, I will post it when the episode drops.
Do what's that?
If you have any of those blooper reels, if you want to link them over to me, I will post them when the episode drops.
Yeah, I'll check and see. Now, some of them I know of, they're still under copyright right now. They're still under, like, non-disclosures, so I can't actually release some of them yet.
For sure.
Just until, at least until the film comes out, because there's people above me, and you know how all that is.
Absolutely. So.
But I might. It out. And I mean, if anybody ever wants to, you know, check out some of my work and stuff, I can't believe, you know, completely forgot. But if anybody ever wants to check out my stuff, you can visit mtspictures.com, see all of my newest stuff, any of my new projects coming up. You can shop on there. You can grab a pick up a copy of any of my films, get a DVD, Blu-ray, get it autographed, posters, anything. And like we anything that we get, as far as like proceeds that come off of that stuff, we actually put that back into helping fund filmmaking within our community. So every purchase we get, portions of all that, it goes back into localized filmmaking in small communities,
which is awesome. I think that's really awesome. And as well, on my website in the store, they can click on the MTS Pictures logo and be redirected to your MTS Pictures website.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that. Now I'm going to interview you, Scott.
Oh jeez. I'm a terrible interview. I've only ever been interviewed one time.
No. So I don't know what the viewers know, but like it's been a couple weeks ago. He gets a hold of me and he's like, "Hey, I want to see one of your films." I was like, "Oh, okay." So he's like, "I'll swing by and I'm going to buy a copy of your last film and I'm going to watch it." So here comes the big finale. Yeah, I love that. Before I even finish my sentence, just I get a laugh. Okay. All right. I'm goodbye, everyone. I'm out. No, no, but for real. Yeah, man, I'm glad I got to get you a copy of that. I'm just really curious what you actually thought about it.
Well, I had texted you about it when I popped it in on Father's
Day. Yeah, but now is the grand moment. We're gonna let everyone see what you really think about me, so we can go from there.
I will have to text you after the interview is over.
Oh no. Oh, that's terrible.
All right, so no last words. No last words. You want to leave anybody? Is it just to follow your dreams? How about that?
We can go with that. Yeah.
We can go with that. Follow your dreams.
Stay in school. Don't do drugs. I mean, you know, the basics.
The basics.
Yeah. No, I'm totally kidding. Seriously, for anyone who has ever had a dream of being a filmmaker, or, you know, for anything for that matter, the number one thing I would say in the last words I'm going to tell anyone that they'll ever hear is do not give up, because winners never quit and quitters never win. I mean, I know that sounds really stupid and cheesy, but I mean, that's something I try to live by, man, because there's been so many times I just wanted to just give up, so close to giving up. But if you truly follow your passion, something inside of you will never let you give up. No matter what you do, you're going to have that will to fight, and you're going to really give it your all. So that's my number one thing. If you're at rock bottom, man, anybody listening to this, just don't give up on your dreams. We all go through stuff, but believe in yourself at the end of the day is what I would totally leave my last words.
I like that. And
he likes it. All right. Well, then we're good. What's up?
Did you private message that dude about the ET VHS tape?
No, I didn't. I'm not in that group. Why?
I was just wondering. I thought that was horrible. Those people have to be trolling. So
yeah, there's no way.
So I sent Brian a screenshot from one of the VHS groups that I am in that he is either no longer in or was never in. There was a gentleman posting an ET VHS tape for, what was it, $2,700?
$2,700.
That's insane. That is not normal. Like, they have to be trolling. That can't be serious.
Absolutely. It's silly shit. But I don't know. I've seen people post, like, really, like, dumb stuff. And then you, like, make fun of them, and they're like, like, oh yeah, well, I know what I got. I know what's worth, which is a keyword for like, you're just an idiot. You know?
Well, every time, I swear, it annoys me, actually. I want to leave those groups, and I see why you know, have left some of them. But it annoys me so bad whenever, like, and it's a newbie, and they don't know, I get it. But they forget they can Google, I guess. But they get on these groups, and they're like, how much are these black diamonds worth? You know? Like, yeah. And it's like, look, it's worth nothing. Google it. They're worth nothing. You have the novelty of having a Disney VHS tape. I mean, take it or leave it. That's it. So
I mean, even the Little Mermaid dick cover is not rare. Like, every single time I find Little Mermaids, it's always the dick cover. Like, always.
Would you like to, for the uninitiated, would you like to explain what the dick cover is?
Yeah, so apparently, like, people thought that the artist who drew the poster art for the VHS release of Little Mermaid had a dick hidden in one of the towers of the castle. And so what happened was this thing, it was, like, released for, like, years. Like, I think, like, 2 or 3 years before someone was like, hey, there's a dick on this. Like, and then Disney was like, okay, well, we're just going to stop printing it. We're going to fix what you think is the dick. And, you know, we'll just sell out of the ones that we have left. And then the next ones after that will not have the dick on the cover. So people, for whatever reason, have this idea that they think that, you know, Disney recalled all the dick covers. And, like, they're very hard to find. But they're not. They're, like, most of the VHS covers have the dick on them.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. That's just like, which we'll come back to that, but just to your point, you know, I remember when I was like 5 or so and they had the Death of Superman, you know, comic book came out, and it was a big deal, which I get. It was a huge deal. I get it. But I remember everybody saying it's going to be worth so much money. And, you know, they were buying them. They were buying so many of them. And it's actually not worth anything, really. I have like the whole graphic novel, which is, you know, all the editions together just in one. And they actually sold so many of them, they kept printing them. So there are mass amounts of those out there. They're worth nothing. I mean, they're really not. And, you know, it's the Death of Superman. It's not really worth anything. I mean, if you got Action Comics number one or something, that's cool. But no.
because everyone had the idea. They were like, oh, this is going to be worth money, so we're just going to buy it. We're going to keep it.
Exactly.
The reason why old baseball cards are worth so much money is because kids destroyed them.
Exactly.
You know, back in the 50s and 60s, they were putting them on their bikes, and they were, like, playing with them. So, like, to find an old baseball card in, like, good condition is, like, extremely rare.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, people were like, oh, let's save our baseball cards, and that ultimately made them not worth anything. Same thing with Beanie Babies. Everyone was hoarding Beanie Babies.
Right?
You know? So
especially,
they're worth nothing.
Yeah, like that, even that, like, Princess Diana one, like, that's the one that, like, everybody wants that they think is, like, worth so much money or something. But, no, like, what I was going to say, you were mentioning about the phallic tower on the castle on the Little Mermaid, and there is a bank in town on the main strip. And it's a new bank. Like, they were just building it a couple years ago. And when it was under construction, they had this, it's like a steeple that they had on there. And it looked very much like, you know, a dick.
Like,
and
dick.
Like a dick. And so, I was, every time, like, I remember seeing it the first time and I took a picture of it. And I'm like, they seriously, like, who approved this? Like, who approved this? And after,
you gotta send me a picture of it. I want to see what
dude,
this
I've got,
looks like.
Well, that's the thing. I've got a picture of it. I'll find it and send it to you here in just a minute when we hang up. But since they built it, I think they had some complaints because, like, a month after it was erected, they changed it, and it is no longer, it's still like a steeple, but it looks more like one of the spires, like from Churchill Downs type.
Okay, yeah.
And so it doesn't look like that shape any longer. But I will definitely send it to you, and I want to know what architect, because I would fire the dude. Like, why did you approve that?
It's like, you'd be surprised. Like, I think people just don't know. It's like, the thing with the VHS tape, the Little Mermaid VHS tape, is that, you know, there was the rumor that the guy did it because he got fired or something like that. So he did it despite Disney, and then they contacted the guy who did it. He's like, no. He's like, I just drew it. He's like, and I didn't even know until someone was like, that looks like a dick.
Well, that story, you know, never made any sense to me, though. He did it because he got fired. It's like, well, if he got fired, then he wouldn't have had the chance to draw it.
Yeah,
you know exactly what I mean? Like, he would have been fired from the project, so he wouldn't have been on that anymore, you know? Like, yeah. So it just, it didn't make any sense. But, so, this being our season finale, do you want to, you and I are moving from this to Night of the Living Dead until,
yes,
until November. We'll pick back up with season 4 in November. And
yes,
you want to talk about Night of the Living Dead for a second? Or no?
I do. I have a couple ideas for the soundtrack about what I'm going to do. Kind of like, it's hard. There's so many different styles I could do for, you know, the soundtrack. But I feel like I should just let it come out naturally.
Yeah.
Like, I already have, like, ideas for how I'm going to do the theme song. Not the theme song, but probably during the credits, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to try to compose. I think you said that you just wanted, like, non-specific, just, like, little, like, things to overlay and stuff like that. So I'll do that.
The thing is, but no matter what Brian does, I trust it, you know. And I actually... there's a coworker who, he actually is in the Philippines and he listens to podcasts, and the one episode that everybody wants to hear, and it's actually our most popular episode, is The Conjuring with, Tony Spera, you know, the son-in-law of Ed and Lorraine Warren. That's the most popular episode that we've got. Everybody wants to hear that one. So he wanted to hear it, and I sent him the link and he played it. And that was the first thing he mentioned. He sent back to me. He said, that is a really awesome opening riff or something like that, you know, in the message. And I'm like, I told him, I said, that's Brian. You'll hear Brian, you know. I said, he wrote and performed that just for the show. So I always, like, am impressed with how many people love the opening theme song that you wrote and performed. So I trust it.
Makes me feel good.
It should. I trust it. No matter what you come up with for Night of the Living Dead, I trust it. But being our season finale, do you want to leave the listeners with anything to think over or to discuss over the break, or no?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, so I think it would maybe be cool if, like, the listeners could do something where they could contact us maybe on things that they would like to hear.
I agree. I've thought about that for a while. Like, I want more interaction. Maybe we should do, like, a Facebook group or something.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, a page. And, you know, just more interaction with the listeners, because we're in 8 countries, you know? And it's like, and I know people listen to us, and it's like, I want more of that interaction. And if, you know, anything, I'm open to, you know, any suggestions. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll have to kick that around over the break and see what we can do for more interaction.
Absolutely. And especially if we're in other countries, I'm thinking, you know, people from other countries might like to hear some stuff rooted maybe in their countries.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that, which might be kind of cool.
Yeah.
As well as, like, opening up other people towards, like, different, you know, types of things. Like, I don't know if I ever told you, but I have a pretty good Bollywood collection.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, it's amazing filmmaking. It's, like, so unique. It's insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, like, anything, you know, other listeners would like to hear would be phenomenal.
Yeah, that's always, you know, that's always welcome. Any suggestions, throw them out there. You know, like, maybe a Facebook group is the way to go, where people interact more, you know, and they can post things and, you know... Maybe it's just more interactive. I'm all about that, you know, and as you said, you know, some stuff that they would like to hear, like when you do your movie reviews, you know, maybe do, you know, like he's in the Philippines. Like, I'm not really sure, like, maybe you could do a film about, you know, that maybe take place in the Philippines, or has, you know, a director or actor or actress from the Philippines, yes. Something, anything.
So when I think of Philippines, I think of Hemisphere Pictures.
Oh yeah,
and, like, Mad Doctor Blood Island, like whole series.
Oh,
because they're all filmed in the Philippines. Ooh. With like John Ashley, and they're actually for late 60s, early 70s movies. They're pretty gory.
So a lot of you guys, well, all of you guys, have heard Dawson on the podcast this season. And just in case anybody is uninitiated, Dawson is my assistant. I took him on just under a year ago. He was a little bit of a fan.
Yeah, Daddy, I'll be yours forever. That's right. My Scotty too hottie. My Scotty too hottie!
And since taking him on, he has been nothing if not professional.
I said, bitch.
Good morning, my friends. From Beam Me Up Scotty, I am currently at work because I've had such a busy freaking week. I haven't had a moment to actually record a segment, let alone watch a movie, to do a little review, throw some movie facts at you. Obviously, it's July 4th this weekend, and I am in the beer industry, if you don't know that. If you don't drink, and if you do drink, you both know that July 4th, one of the biggest two keys of July, having a successful July 4th, is booze and barbecue. So, I happen to be on the booze side, and my company that I work for, we sell the largest brands. Any popular brand that you may think is out there, we sell. So we're the largest distributors in Northeast Louisiana. And I guess the middle, I don't know which, I guess Northwest of Louisiana. Northwest Louisiana. And so we sell a crap ton of beer. And just in this last week, I've moved over 6,000 cases of beer. Not personally, myself, but my truck that delivers the beer. They've moved that much. And just yesterday, I put my hands personally on over 1,000 cases yesterday. I put my hands on 58 cases in 3 hours yesterday between three people, myself and two other guys that I was working with, the delivery driver and the helper. And it sucked. Long story short, we didn't get home until 7 o'clock yesterday. We've had three 12 and a half hour days this week. I started at 6:30 in the morning, and yesterday I didn't get home till 7. I didn't get to the warehouse till 7. I didn't get home till 7:15. Tuesday, it was same thing, but I think Tuesday we started at 5:30. I think 5:30 we started Tuesday, and we worked all damn day. Got off even later that day, but it wasn't near as bad as yesterday. Yesterday was just a fucking headache. So, anyways, that's how my week has been going. But like I said, I haven't had a chance to watch any movies. I think Monday was my easiest day, and I still got home at like 3 or so, which isn't bad at all. But I haven't been able to watch anything, so I don't have any movie facts for you. Like I said, I have really nothing for you other than the sheer excitement in my voice that you guys can tell that I am actually, since the last podcast segment I did, I got a promotion. I can't remember if I had mentioned that in the last one. But anyways, I got a promotion in the sales, and I start that next week because I've been training this young guy who's 19 to take my position. And I've been with him the last 3 weeks because we didn't want him to come in to be with the company for 2 weeks and then come into this July 4th week and quit on us because it's been so fucking hectic. If he was on his own, he would have quit by now, or he would have been still working. I mean, it is what it is. And those, in between those 900-something cases we slung yesterday, which is like, I think it was 10 pallets of beer, he hadn't finished 6 pallets, which was only like 400, somewhere. I think it was 400. In between 300 and 400. He didn't finish that. So I had to actually wrap up with my delivery driver where I was at, come to the rescue, help him out, and finish up for the day. Or not even finish up for the day. Finish up for this one big store that we're at now. So that delivery yesterday was boo-boo, and we're actually back at the store. We come to the store every day. And we're doing a pull-up right now, so basically we're just working in the back stock. And I'm in the back right now getting Ultra Michelob Ultra suitcases to put on display and in the window. And I told him, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes ago to get a count of the window, see what we need to go out, and blah, 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 blah. He has to come back here to work the back stock onto a U-boat, which is what we put everything on, and he still hasn't made it back here. I mean, I even slowed down and stopped and talked to my salesman, like I said earlier. Actually, I don't know. Did I say that on the segment, or was that the one I deleted? Anyways, I just want you guys to know, I think I'm having a heart attack. And I've sat here and rambled for 5 minutes, and it feels like much longer. So, I'm going to keep drinking my coffee, and maybe I won't pass out. I can't find my coffee. Oh, there's my coffee. I'm literally halfway down, and my heart's beating. Sorry, guys. I'm going to wrap it up here. Have a very, very safe July 4th weekend. Much love. Buy Bud. Drink Bud. I appreciate it, you guys. If you're going to drink, be safe. Always drive responsibly. And while you're out there, try our new Bud Light Seltzer Retro Summer Packs. They are absolutely delicious. Just want you guys to know that I'm not trying to promote long stuff, but I've got to eat. So, as always, guys, we appreciate it. We love you. Have a safe weekend and stay gnarly.
Hello?
Hey, man, what's up?
Oh, just relaxing to, by the way, before we get started, did you do your homework with the cotton ball loincloth in your head, patting it, saying, nature?
No.
Okay, first of all, I can already tell you did because you sound more aggressive this time than last time. What am I doing? Something that your next step, which is to study the great works of poetry, will really, we need to exercise that demon called aggression that lives inside you at a boiling point, seems always when I speak with you.
I wonder why. So
right now I'm studying poetry. I'm reading this brilliant poem that I found online. I don't know it doesn't tell me the name of the poet, of the genius, which is disappointing, because I'd like to read his whole works if possible. But I think a lot of poems out there written by these poets who we never even hear about. But it's a beautiful poem. I'm going to read it to you right now. Do you understand?
Oh, okay.
Okay, you can be a little less aggressive when you say that. Here goes. I don't know the name of it, but it goes, jump back. What's that sound? Now, here she comes. Foot tap and top down. Hot shoe burning down the avenue. Model citizen, zero discipline. Don't you know she's coming home with me? You'll lose her in that turn. I'll get her, her and her. Panama, Panama, Panama. It must be her name. Panama. Oh.
Hey,
oh.
That's okay. Just never mind.
I'm not telling you. Oh, ain't okay. Nothing like it. Her shiny machine. She got a feel for the road. Keep the moving parts clean. Hot shoe burning down the avenue. Ah, got a freeway coming through my bedroom. That's very metaphorical. Don't you know she's coming home with me? You'll lose her in that turn. I'll get her and her and her and her. Panama, Panama, Panama. Oh, I know it. I'm pretty sure that's the girl's name. Panama. Oh. Now I'm flying, and she's flying. She's right behind me in a rearview mirror. All this is metaphor, just so you know. Please don't take any of this literal. Got the foot in, power steering, pistons popping, and no stopping now. Panama, 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 oh, Panama, 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 oh, Panama. Panama. That is brilliant. Because you know what they're talking about there is the difference between what you think love would be in an atmospheric society in which people tend to differentiate between love and just what, you know, a petty person would enjoy, which is a one-night stand at a Los Angeles Dodger game, meeting by chance at the vendor.
That sounds very, very specific.
So what were you going to say as you rudely interrupted when I first started reading this beautiful poem?
I was actually, I forgot why I called. It was...
No. I was starting the poem, and then you were going to interrupt me while I was in the middle of reading it, as if you were aware of something that I was not. And so please, enlighten me.
I don't think that's, what the poem you think it is.
Then what do I think? What is it, Sir Professor of Poetry?
You know,
do you know who the poet is? If you do, don't hold back. It's a crime to hold back. Who is the poet?
Look, okay, so I'm not going to ruin this for you.
If you don't tell me the truth, you're going to ruin it for me. Who is the poet? Say it now. You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2. Just say the name of the poet.
But I don't know the name of the poet.
Oh, then why? What are you boasting about? Your pride.
Okay, so the reason I had called was to see if you had any plans for the summer.
Oh, Van Halen is the name of the poet.
Yeah,
it says it right there, Van Halen.
I really did not want to ruin that for you because you were totally
why. Why? Now I know the poet's name. Van Halen.
It's not a poem. It's a song. Which is a poem, technically.
Every
yes.
poem is a song.
I know, but it's just, it's...
You know what?
Look.
I gotta jump. I can't talk to you right now. I gotta jump.
Kenny, my man, my brother from another mother, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How's your night?
Can't complain. It's been quite the week, a roller coaster of a week, if you will. I know you kind of know what has been going on.
You want to talk about it? No.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not sure how much of this I can or should share, but essentially, it was down to. It's to what I understand about the last two people. It was between me and one other actor for a role in a Miramax movie. So I was pretty much preparing to fly out this past Wednesday to Utah I wasn't sure exactly how long the shoot would have been. I don't know. Probably would have been at least 2 or 3 days. But it was a wild, wild week. Thinking that, that was a real possibility. And once I got the news that they went with the other candidate, I took my day afternoon, if you will, to kind of grieve a little bit. But then here I am, right back on that high horse. I had like 3 more auditions to record the very next day, and I actually just got cast in a commercial out here in Chicago. So
nice.
It's just a sign of, like, you know, it's so easy to get discouraged when, you know, it doesn't feel like things are going your way, or it feels like you're receiving a rejection for something. But the key thing to remember is that, you know, the fact that I made it that far for something, for a role that significant, is just such a cool experience in and of itself, and certainly speaks volumes to the level of talent and dedication that I've put into this career thus far. So those are my takeaways from that.
That's good.
Definitely a cool learning experience for sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that I've always said that every day should have a lesson, you know, and you know, every day should have, you know, just your lesson for the day is this, you know? And so
exactly.
I think that's cool that you have, you know, turned it into a positive. That's really awesome. Because you know why it didn't work out? Because something else was supposed to happen that was supposed to be even better. That's why.
Exactly. And that mindset is just so critical, that ability to take that perspective for all of your victories or I don't even call them failures, because I use them as a way to fuel that fire to keep it going. But yeah, that perspective helps so much in dealing with those times or opportunities that might not have panned out in the way that you would have hoped it to. But like you said, there's always a reason as to why. And ultimately, as an actor, I did my job. You know what I mean? I delivered the audition. I did everything that was asked of me, and it was good enough ultimately to make its way to the head casting director and a series of producers for Miramax Films. Like that's such a cool feeling, regardless of the fact if I get cast or not. So definitely some positives to take away from that experience for sure. And like you said, it means that there's gonna be a time where everything lines up the way that it's supposed to for me.
It will. I'm a firm believer in that everything that's supposed to happen for us in our life happens. And you know, I think that everybody who comes into your life is there for a reason to, you know, kind of shape you into, you know, where you need to be in life. And you know, I'm not saying that everything's predetermined, but you know, I just feel like that if, you know, everybody knows, like, you know who you are inside. And you know, I think we're born, like, you were born knowing internally. Maybe you didn't know, you know, at a young age necessarily, but you were always destined to be an actor, and everything was going to eventually push you to that, you know.
So. Yeah, and it is funny too. Like even when you recognize that idea in the now, and you do start to kind of reflect back on your life and all the little moments and times that maybe made you, you kind of yearn for more, even when things were seemingly going well. You kind of look back and reflect on all those moments, and then you reflect on where it is that you are right now. It's kind of a cool thing. I like to encourage your listeners to take on these exercises, regardless of what career or life path you find yourself on, because it just can be so helpful to making the most out of it, regardless of what's going on in your day, whether it's a good day, a bad day, an okay day. It just really helps, sort of, like you said, continue to build that character of you. And I believe that, like, everybody's on their own path and journey to finding themselves a little bit more each and every day, each and every week, each and every month.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. And I can't wait to see what else comes along on your journey in the latter part of 2021 into 2022. In season 4.
Oh, me too. I will just kind of mention too, like, so far this year, I've worked really hard to kind of establish a new foundation that's sort of building for me. I kind of joke around, like, building my own little, like, business or my own little empire. It kind of gets me excited. But I spent most of the year already submitting to new agents and agencies, and my agency count is up to 7 now. So just being repped from different states, different markets. So it's kind of only a matter of time. You know, I feel so fortunate right now that this plethora of different opportunities and auditions are coming my way, and it's just so exciting, because it instills again this idea of, hey, like, I'm ready for that opportunity to come. It's just a matter of it being the right one. And yeah, the fact that we get to do this together, Kenny, I think is just so freaking cool.
I love it too. I think it's cool. You and I clicked really well, and I'm glad to have you around full time next season and talking about your Oscar-winning performance in the film that will come along in the interim here between seasons 3 and 4. So,
oh yeah, beautiful.
I will let you go. Get back to your night, And you want to tell everybody good night?
Oh, absolutely. To all the friends, family, loved ones, and everybody in between, good night from Beam Me Up, Scotty.
On behalf of Beam Me Up, please visit AntonYelchinFoundation.org. Thank you.